Radio.
This episode contains depictions of strong violence, drug use, and sexual coercion.
I'd barely climbed out of the airlock well before the Proteus suit disgorged me. It opened up like a great clam and spilled me out onto the dive room floor. I glanced back just in time to see the armored shell cave in on itself, melting back down the well as a column of slime.
Warning, security breach. Please proceed to the nearest evacuation hub.
Coated in a patina of alien fluid, I rose to a crouch and marked the rhythmic blinking of alarm strobes, the smell of blood. Over by a cluster of lockers, the dive boots of a corpse poked out from behind an overturned bench. A smashed Graph Inc. Pro lay by its side. Hoffman. I rose to my feet and took a cautious step forward. The severity of his wounds made me grimace. Blood and hemorrhaged brain tissue pooled beneath his shattered skull. A burn in the shape of a human hand branded his upper face and forehead. It wasn't the work of Triton or Nereid. It could only be the other. The Void Walker. The thing that wore Vale's consciousness as a mask. I studied his frozen expression, his eyes brimmed with vacancy. Did the thing wear Hoffman now, I wondered. Did it rush to board a departing sub with his face, his comm unit, his...
We have a story for you.
What had happened here? While I hunted for Buchlin and Apathis tested their handiwork, something from the outside... Something nearly mythic, even to the Tritons, lashed out at both surface and deep. In doing so, it framed me, and by extension, Eudex itself. My escape only cemented the presumption of guilt. What version of the truth would it bring to the surface in Hoffman's guise? I could guess. Its ends might be uncertain, but the methodology was clear. So division. Set uncertain allies against each other. What better place than here? I checked the lockers and found a dive knife. It wasn't engineered for zero-spin throwing. It didn't sharpen at my touch, but it would do the job. Against all but one. I stepped over Hoffman's body and left him for the inevitable cleanup crew. The room's only door unlocked and slid into the wall at my approach, triggered by Jax's comm unit. A vacant corridor opened up before me. Blinking emergency lights played off the naked pipes and wires. I knew what I needed to do. I knew what Vale would have done. I had to bring the truth back to the surface. It might be enough. I wormed my way through the vacant halls. I followed the blood, past body after body, landsfolk and recombined alike, dismembered with unmistakable precision, though none of them bore the burn mark Hoffman had. They slumped against walls and portholes, all reduced to the same lifeless meat. I felt the tug of the black drug's absence. As I passed the first crew cabin cluster, I wondered if they'd had time to search my room. Were there still two vials of basilisk tucked away in my bag? An umber black blade wrapped in a spare shirt? If I could just tighten my will and reactions, upgrade my weaponry, then... Ahead... A hatch flew open and two Eudex security guards slumped out into the hall, entangled in sensual embrace. Hands pawing, searching, lips frothing. They hit the opposite wall and slid down to the floor. Thetis emerged behind them. I ducked down a converging hall and froze against the bulkhead. I readied the knife in one trembling hand.
Now, wood teeth.
I didn't have to see. To know.
Good.
My breathing was too loud. My heart. I knew she'd hear me. Reach out to my mind before I could strike. I was no match. Not like this. Closer and closer. Another door rolled open. When it closed, I moved. I leapt over the two doomed guards as they chewed into each other's faces, moaning with the cross-wired pleasure of mutilation, eyes rolling back like something from the brothels of hell. I didn't look back.
Ladies and gentlemen, Peter Bookley.
Thank you. I know you've heard a lot of great speakers today. You've heard a lot of amazing ideas about how we can change course, how we can harness the forces of innovation for a better world, for a brighter tomorrow. And no, I don't mean deeper oil wells. I don't even mean hydrothermal, which I realize is something of a surprise coming from me. I do believe that's a future of energy. It sustained the Tritons for millennia, and it can do the same for all of us. But no, what I want to suggest to you goes beyond even benign exploitation of our planet's resources. Today, I want to talk to you about the science of despeciation, the necessary process by which two species become one.
I cut through the bazaar, its empty alleyways wet from the rain of sprinklers. A burned-out fry shop and a looted storefront told me all I needed to know. A worker lay in two halves beside a glitching tarot machine. Empress and scepter flashed across the blood-splattered screen. I pushed on through the alley of saints and oceanic gods, their altars washed in the blood of their last attendants. The Triton-shaped bust of Mother Hydra lay toppled and shattered across the grated floor. There was still no Thetis to block my path, but she knew where I'd go. If not my quarters, then the subs. I sprinted the remaining lengths of hallway, ignoring my wounds. More blood. More abandoned gear and baggage to mark an increasingly frenzied evacuation. Footprints in the gore. A technician clutching a dive knife, their spinal column laid bare.
Please proceed to the nearest evacuation hub.
I reached the docking station module. The door rolled aside to grant me entrance. And there it was. One remaining docked vessel, the very Gladius-class sub I'd arrived on. And no Thetis. I ran across the cargo bay, weaving among its stacked and sorted crates, shipments from the surface, compressed garbage tubes bound for return. I shot into the Gladius sub's open cargo bay and slammed the manual switch to close it behind me.
Unregistered presence detected. Please activate comm unit.
The great door rolled into place, and I caught one last glimpse of Atlas Station. Alarm lights gleaming in trails of blood. And just a hint of movement before the door blocked my view and the locking bolts shot home. A pale pursuer.
Welcome, passengers, Arhanka, Jax.
I stalked across the empty cargo hold to the crew module. Even without my own comm unit, the automated system would recognize Jax's and follow evacuation protocol. I opened the door and saw two blood-smeared comm units on the cot, and she stood beside it. Blonde hair fell to shoulder length, the jeans and jacket of a surface pedestrian, now soaked in gore. She held one human arm out to the side, blood still dripping from the fingertips. My knife hand tensed, the muscle memory of training and instinct. It would have given me a chance against any other foe. Vale. She turned, casually, as if this was but a social call. She regarded me with those same eyes. Flawlessly human eyes. I know you're in there. I know you're more than just a mask. We can stop this.
Why would we stop it?
It wants us at war with each other. At war with ourselves.
It wants only silence.
Death.
No, life across a billion worlds, but silence in the mind.
Vale! Tabitha! You came for the truth. A message of change. Her face twitched. Her eyes trembled.
I want to. I'm trying.
Her flesh loosened like an unraveling shroud. Dry, membranous wings of indeterminable shape shredded her blood-soaked clothes and fanned the stagnant air of tomb and all ruin. Within the whirlwind of flesh, I caught the scarcest glimpse of its true form, the thing that lurked beneath the layers of semblance and enacted its inhuman will.
It's because your minds have a turning place.
The eyes were still veils, but the swirling tissue was already reforming in the likeness of a woman, bloodied and bruised. Rows of horizontal black bars tattooed over scalp, forehead, and throat. The one who would deliver its message. You're stronger than this thing. You're the one who believes. I know you can resist. She moved, and I felt the burn of her palm against my forehead. And history is a spiral.
Thank you.
Second Oil Age was produced by Robert Lamb, Alex Williams, Lauren Vogelbaum, and Josh Thane.
This episode featured Angel Masters as Sinove Khan, Lauren Vogelbaum as Tabitha Vale, Aileen Loy as Thetis, and Nicholas Dukoski as Peter Buchman. Supporting voice work by Gina Rakiki and Josh Clark. Intro, outro, and supporting music created by The Weirdin Module. Learn more at module1485.bandcamp.com.
Visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.